prayer and ask your continued interest in your prayers as we stand before you this morning. We thought Brother Thomas was going to be able to be with us today, but he got a call to fill in at Bethel Church in Bonifay, and so we understand how that goes, but we pray the Lord will be with him there. And by the way, when I said what I did about voting, don't think that I remotely am suggesting that it doesn't matter how we vote. We need to be prayerful about it and follow the leadership of the Spirit and vote for what we feel like the one that would stand up best for what God would be pleased with. Last Sunday, we dealt with some topics that were just fundamental doctrinal topics and how we understand the Bible to teach those things. And I made the statement at the end of that message that when we understand what God has done for us, then it begs the question, what are we to do? As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8, when Paul had gone through verses 29 and 30, and listing out many of those fundamental principles, he said, what shall we then say to these things? In other words, there needs to be a response from God's people. And we need to, and that response needs to be in godliness so that we can let our light shine, so that we can show the world who we are, the children of God. May God deliver us from ever blending in with the world, and no one can see the difference between us and the world. And so that's why we have to stick to what the Bible teaches so that our lives will be more conformed, transformed really, because it's what we feel in our hearts and what the Spirit is helping us to understand so that we can, from the inside out, we can change our behavior to be more godly and to serve Him more faithfully. All right? So this morning, I want to deal with a number of scriptures again. But this is in regard to things that the Scripture says we should always do. If the Bible says that we should always do these things, then that should be part of our behavior, right? It you know, like one of those things, by the way, is going to be praying. Now, you don't stay on your knees 24 hours a day praying, okay? You've got to live. You've got responsibilities. You've got things that you need to do. But you can spend that time in prayer, and then you can get up and leave and go about your day with a prayerful attitude and continuing to remember the Lord in all that you do. And by doing that, we understand more about what Paul says about praying without ceasing. But I'm getting ahead of myself. But that lets you know what we've got in mind. All right, the first thing, though, I want to notice is a couple of scriptures that mention the fact that we are to fear the Lord always. Now, we're not talking about a slavish fear. We're not talking about being afraid of what someone would do, you know, what the Lord might do. Even though we understand the Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Okay, so if there's something about our behavior that's out of the way, then we need to be mindful if we understand that, or if we're brought to the realization that that's not according to God's will, then we need to beg the Lord to help us to get back in the right way. Okay? Because we fear Him. Fear Him in the way of loving respect. Someone that you have a tremendous amount of love and respect for, don't you want to do things that are pleasing to them? Don't you want to try not to do anything that would upset them or cause them grief in their life? Tremendous love and respect. Now, it is common that we render that type of fear, that type of love and respect to our parents, our elders, different ones. But God has done so much more for us than anybody ever has done on this earth. You know, David realize, he said on one occasion, and I don't remember the address for that verse, but he says, though my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Is that Psalm 27? Might be. The point is, we all realize, and some of us have experienced, there'll come a time when mom and daddy's not going to be there. Now, when you're young, you don't appreciate that truth. But as we grow older and as we see our loved ones passing and going home to be with the Lord, and we realize that mom and dad, you know, when you're young, you think mom and daddy can do anything. I mean anything. They can fix anything. They can do anything. Well, we get a little bit older and we realize that's not exactly true. They've got their limitations. And we get a little bit older and then we start seeing that mamas and daddies sometimes pass away and are not around anymore. So the sooner we realize that it's the Lord who is our help and our strength and our guide, and we need him more than anyone else. Because someday, mama and daddy's not going to be around, but the Lord will always be there. He is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. All right? So let's notice, in Deuteronomy 14, I want to get verse 23. This is right in the middle of where God is giving Israel the dietary laws and laws of tithing. And so there's a lot of specifics here that they had to observe according to the law. All right? But there's a phrase here that I want you to see. All right? So in the middle of him giving all of these specific guidelines about what they were to observe as they would eat and the tithes that they would make, in verse 23 he says, Deuteronomy 14:23, "And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there." Okay, that eventually became Jerusalem, right? "The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always." The precepts of the law were given to exercise the children of Israel. And as they observed what God commanded, and they practiced those things, and it became a part of them and them understanding these precepts and what they were to observe, then as they did according to what God says in his word, they were showing their fear of God. That is their respect and their love. You sure about that, preacher? Well, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So as they kept the commandments and as they kept the precepts of the Old Testament law, they were being exercised in fearing God. And so as they observed these things, and as it became part of their life, and as they taught it to their children, then the fear of God would continue. You know, in my lifetime, and I'm going to say in my short lifetime, I have seen a great change in our culture in how much the fear of the Lord is manifested. Our culture, in so many ways, have tried to shove God out of the public scene. They've tried to limit whatever effect his word might have upon our lives. You see who's doing that. Okay, it's not God's will that we have less and less and less of him. It's the influence that's coming in from Satan and from the world and from ungodliness, and how, and to whatever extent it's crept into our lives, it's there. Our responsibility before God is to live our lives in a way that continues to show that we fear the God of heaven. That's our responsibility. How we go about that? This is the rule book. This is our rule of faith and practice. This is what we observe. Now, understand the Old Testament tenets and all those kinds of things, those have been fulfilled in Christ. But we have plenty of New Testament teachings that tell us how we can accomplish the same thing. Because I guarantee you, on the authority of this word, that to fear God is still one of the first things we need to remember. Remember what Solomon said at the conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now here's the one, now I know that he later in life, he wasn't as faithful, and he turned away from God in many ways, in practical things, all right? But when he wrote these scriptures, these are inspired scriptures. This is the word of God. And it tells us that Solomon was given more wisdom than any other man that's ever lived. Now, we understand the Lord Jesus is accepted from that, all right? But more wisdom. Well, then what does that tell you about trusting wisdom? You know, trust, leaning to your own understanding, I'll put it that way. Didn't he say in Proverbs, lean not to thine own understanding? In all thy ways acknowledge him, right? Okay? So we see that even all the wisdom that this world has was not enough, okay, to keep Solomon from going astray. So if he, with all the wisdom that he had, went astray, then we need to be careful. We need to be careful, okay? But my point is, Ecclesiastes concludes, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. I mean, listen, with all the wisdom Solomon had and with all the proverbs that we have been given and all the wisdom that is pinned down in Holy Writ, he brings it down to this. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God must be important. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I think that sums it up quite nicely, don't you? Fear God and keep his commandments. So that tells us now what we need to do, but it's the word of God that tells us what that's going to involve. Okay? We need to know what this word teaches us so that we can know how to keep his commandments. All right? So also Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. This doesn't have the word always in it, but it's teaching us the same things. This is toward the end of Moses' words to Israel. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Now that's important. Even though that's an Old Testament passage, that's important for all of us, okay? Because it's still valid today. But look at what he says in verse 13. There's a profound reason why we are to observe to do and why we are to fear the Lord. He says, verse 13, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over to Jordan to possess it. You see, there's a need for us to observe these things. And by observing, it means to know it, and to be careful to do it and apply it to our lives. You know, that observing it is more than just hearing. It's hearing and doing. Okay? So not only are we to observe it, but there's so much that when we observe these principles of godliness and walk those things before our children, there's so much that they learn from our example, whether they really understand the teaching of it or not. That's so necessary for them to see that example. They can learn so much from that. Okay? They may not be old enough to know all the words that explain the principle, but they can see your actions. And if your actions show forth that you fear the Lord and you want to observe His word, then they'll learn from that. And they need to see that. All right? So it's important for us to always do this, to fear the Lord always. That's just a pretty broad principle, isn't it? All right? Next, I want to notice that we should always pray.
Amen.
Always. Didn't Jesus say in his model prayer, "Give us this day our monthly allowance"? Is that what he said?
Daily.
Daily bread. We need it on a daily basis. You know, it's important for you to maintain a regular diet. Some of us may have overindulged a little bit, you know, but it's important, all right? It's just the usual thing. When Jesus gave us that model prayer, he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, I appreciate immensely when you come to church on Sunday. Thank you. But I hope you're praying every day. Not just one day a week, but every day. In Luke chapter 18, I'll try not to jump around too much, but each one of these has their proof text, so Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, I really just want to get to the beginning of the chapter. There's a lesson, and I have to give you a brief description, I guess. There was a widow, and she kept coming to an unjust judge begging that he would avenge her of her adversary. Okay? And he wouldn't hear. But eventually, she kept coming back. Okay? And the judge, in this example, the judge said, "Lest she weary me by her continual coming, he granted her request." Okay? All right, now let's read. This is one of those parables where the Lord told us, very few of those that he told us plainly like this, but in this one, he told us exactly what this parable was teaching us. In Luke chapter 18, he said, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to give up, not to think that God's not hearing you, not to think that you're not worthy that he would hear you, not faint," okay? And don't lose heart. In other words, I think that's the literal definition there. So he gave them this parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So I'm not going to take time to go into the parable. You can read it. But he told you up front what he was teaching us. And that is, part of that was that even an unjust judge said that she was wearying him, and so he went ahead and granted a request. Now, God is not an unjust judge. God is holy and righteous and altogether lovely and powerful and loving. But the principle still is there, that when we go to Him and when we ask of Him those things that are weighty upon our heart, He hears us. Now, He'll answer in His own time. And the Apostle John tells us, we know that whatsoever we ask according to His will, He heareth us. So if we're asking, if we keep asking, if our asking is not exactly what His will is, His Spirit can guide us into what is His will. All right? And sometimes we need that, don't we? Well, I'll just say all the time we need that. We always need to know God's will, but sometimes we think, you know, we're asking what we want. And if that's in keeping with His will, that's great. But sometimes it needs to be changed a little bit. And so the Spirit can help us in that. But the principle remains, we ought to always pray and not to faint. All right, prayer is a powerful blessing that God gives us. Okay? We all have needs. Sometimes we don't want to tell anybody what they are, but we have them. And God is able to supply our every need. As a matter of fact, Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He will supply our need. Okay? How good of a job, I'll just put it that way, how well are we doing in the department of praying to the Lord on a daily basis? I say this often, but it's the best illustration I know. If I find a better one, I'll let you know, but I like George Washington's quote about praying. He said there was times when he had to repent of his praying. Sometimes we get lazy in our asking. Sometimes we leave it off. Sometimes we get busy. Sometimes a number of things happens. Okay? But praying. Praying is a way that we exercise our dependence. I like what a writer said one time, that in sin, man tries to exercise his independence from God. But in prayer, we exercise our dependence upon God. We need to humble ourselves and pray every day we live. We need that. It helps us stay closer to the Lord. It helps us to stay focused on the will of God. It helps us to have a greater heart for the needs of others around us. There's just so many benefits. I'm probably preaching to the choir. You know, but we need to be reminded. The Apostle Peter wrote the 2 Peter, A great part of the message of 2 Peter is for their minds to be stirred up by way of remembrance. And so we need to be exhorted on a regular basis to pray every day. I hope that's our habit. And, you know, I love to be able to get on my knees. Now, I realize as the years roll on, that might be more difficult than it is right now. So the posture of prayer is one thing, but I'm satisfied that God is more interested in the posture of the heart than He is the posture of the body. Amen. If we humble ourselves, we can be standing up and humble ourselves before God. But that's the key, isn't it? To humble ourselves before God. Remember Micah 6 and 8? I love that little passage, Micah 6 and 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And I don't see how you can walk humbly with God without praying on a regular basis. I just don't see it. And I didn't say getting on your knees and praying on a regular basis. I said praying, humbly beseeching God for what you need. I just can't see a person being very humble without praying and humbling himself before God and praying. It's important, isn't it? In every aspect of our life. And so when Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, there's the suggestion there that we need that bread for the strength for that day.
Right.
Now, I'm not telling you don't pray at night. You can pray at night. That's fine. But pray. Pray. Prayer is so powerful. Didn't James say the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man, and that word man there is the generic word, so it's men and women, all right? The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Okay? Not because of you, but because of God. When he hears, and when we in spirit and in humility offer up those effectual and fervent prayers, they avail much. So the question that we should ask ourselves is our praying what you would consider effectual and fervent? You'll have to answer that, okay? But it's important, because effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, the power of God comes down to help when we pray in such a way. And the only way we can pray in that way is to be praying in spirit. Have you ever tried to pray and you didn't feel like that your prayers got above your head?
Yeah,
I've been there too. It's not a good place. That's not a good thing to feel. Okay, but Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about how the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Okay, and what that expression, I like the Robertson's word pictures for that. He says it's kind of like an athlete that's trying to jump over a high bar, and he just can't quite get over it. Can't get high enough to get over the bar. But the Spirit comes along and just lifts us up. And the Spirit lifts our prayers to God. And so when we pray to God, when we're praying in spirit, then the power of God has come down to help us. And we need that so much. I tell you, sometimes, and I don't want this to sound so critical. It's an admonition to us all. But sometimes you wonder about the power of the church to have an influence. Here lately, I've really been burdened to pray that somehow we could, and it won't be my doings, I understand, but that we could be a church where our light would shine forth to others. For the glory of God. You know, it's amazing how much God blesses when he gets the glory. And that's what it ought to be, for his glory and his alone. Okay? But we ought to be interested in being the kind of disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we would be letting our light shine so that others could see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Okay? So praying is a big part of that, because it helps us to stay closer to the Lord. Okay? So, fear God, praying, and then another thing that comes very close along with that is giving thanks always. It ought to be part of our praying, right? Giving thanks. Do you realize, I know you do because I've said it before, but do you realize if God never gave you another blessing, Never. If he never gave you another blessing, and yet you know him, you love him, you have an understanding of what he did through his son and sending his son to save us from our sins, you have a hope of heaven that someday when this life is over, you'll be with him in heaven's pure. If he never gave you another blessing, you've already got enough to praise him in all eternity for saving you from your sins. You've already. Now, God is so good, he's going to continue to bless us. But I'm just saying, if you understand what he's done for us in saving us from our sins, and that heaven will be our home and we'll be delivered from all the ungodliness and the sorrows and the heartaches of this world, if you know that, and if you're blessed to understand that that is what God has done for us, if we never received another blessing, we've still got enough to praise him in all eternity.
Amen.
And you know my favorite definition for eternity. It's just long enough to praise God enough. Eternity. That's what we have by his grace that he has given us. All right? And it'll be ours. Okay? So giving thanks always. Look at Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20. Paul is giving a lot of exhortation to the church at Ephesus, how they should speak to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 20, he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. Some might say, well, preacher, you just don't know my life. The struggles, the heartaches, the tragedies that's been in my life. Well, you may be right. I don't know everything about your life. But if we, just like I said a moment ago, if we know, if we in our hearts believe that God sent Jesus into this world to save us from our sins, that because of his finished work on the cross, heaven is our home, if you believe that, if you understand that, and bless your hearts, you can thank God for that. Every one of us has something that we can thank God for every day. Okay? We live in a fallen world. Not everything's going to go right. Okay? But bless your hearts, that's why God had, the Father, had to send his Son to this world to save us from our sins. And so, in everything, we're to give thanks.
Amen.
You know, even when I'm convicted of things that maybe I've done in the past or a thought or a whatever, I can thank God that he's given me his Spirit to help me. That conviction might make me feel bad, but if it will help me to realize and to repent of whatever that is, or repent of whatever that was, and turn back to God, then the Spirit has done its work. The point is to try to stay close to the Lord. And we've all known folks that were just salt of the earth. I mean, some of the best people you'd ever want to meet in your lifetime. And yet they felt like they were the worst sinners. I hope each one of you have somebody you can think about that when I say that they were the best in terms of the love that they had for God and the example they gave to us and the love that they gave to their families, you know, I'm talking, we're all sinners. Okay. But some of the best people we've ever known, they would, of themselves, they would say they were like Paul, the chief of sinners. Now, what that tells me is that somebody that's walking close to the Lord, a very small thing to a lot of us can be a big thing to them. So, you know, they're not out robbing banks and they're not out killing people, but there might be a thought that went through their mind and whatever. Okay. What I'm saying is when you're closer to the Lord, then smaller things matter as far as offenses and things like that. And so the more we pray, the more we try to walk in the fear of the Lord, the more we give thanks to God, and all of these help us to stay closer to the Lord. And bless your hearts, the more we're going to feel His presence in our life, the more we're going to desire to do His will and thereby fear His name. And that's the best place in the world to be, because that's when we're walking the most in His will. So giving thanks. There's many places we could go, but you understand the principle. We're to always give thanks, always. All right? When the Apostle Paul gave us the longest lesson on the subject of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's one verse at the end of that chapter. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't separate those epistles in chapters. Okay? Men separated those chapters, okay? I'm just saying, the longest lesson we have on the subject of the resurrection is 1 Corinthians 15. And there's one verse right at the end of that chapter that if we understand the resurrection, if we rejoice to know that Jesus rose from the dead and that He rose for us and that He's coming back for us and we're looking forward to the resurrection, then that also demands a response. And so 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, says, "Therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding," and that's the next principle here, "always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." There's never a kind word, there's never a kind deed that goes unnoticed by God. We may do something out of kindness. We may do something out of appreciation or whatever, and whoever we did it for, they may not show any appreciation whatsoever. But don't think that that was worthless. God sees, He knows, and He'll bless you for it. We are just to continue to abound in the work of the Lord. Whatever the Lord puts upon our heart, whatever we can find to do with our hands, do it with all your might. Do it for the glory of God. Do it from the love of God that He has placed within us. But do it. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, we get busy, and families sometimes take a lot of our time. I understand that. But we should still find a way to do our praying and to try to seek to do God's will in our lives. If we make those things priority, remember He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So when we seek Him first, then He enables us to do a better job of taking care of our families, of loving our families, attending to their needs. He'll do that. He'll bless us in that when we put Him first. All right? So always abounding in the work of the Lord, seeking His will and doing whatever opportunities come our way. And I found out a long time ago, one of the prayers that God answers more quickly than seemingly than many others is if you ask, Lord, who can I help today? Would you put somebody in my path that I could be a blessing to? I have found that to be one of the quickest prayers God answers. So if you're not ready to do that, you better watch out when you ask. But listen, I don't want to make light of a very serious principle. The whole fear God and keep his commandments. The way Solomon said it, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Jesus said to love God and to love one another is the whole law. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You want to keep the law? You want to keep his will? Then love God and love one another. Kind of simple, isn't it? But it's simply profound. Because this book is full of telling us how to go about that. Are you sure about that, preacher? Yes, I am. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, when he tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect, mature, complete, may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So whatever good works we need to do, this word will help us. It will thoroughly furnish us to do those things. Okay? So, to always abound in the work of the Lord. If it's going to be the work of the Lord, it has to be led by his Spirit, right? Not that you know, sometimes we hear in the world, name it and claim it. Well, if it's God's will, that's okay. But if it's our will, he's not just going to do what we ask. It has to be according to his will. Okay? Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's other things we could cover, but let's just finish out Paul's message to the church at Philippi. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. So one of the things that the Lord would have us to do is rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. To me, that kind of sums up a lot of what we've said here today. Of fearing God, of praying like we should, giving thanks. The more we do those things, the more joy we will have in our life. You might say, well, preacher, I've got a lot of problems. I don't know about that. Try me. Try the Word of God. Try Him. When we seek Him first, when we seek to do His will, you know, I know that in John chapter 13 is where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Okay? And that was the lesson there that He was teaching. But one of the verses that were given, Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Okay? That principle applies to a whole lot more than just what's spoken of in John chapter 13. If we know God's will, if we know what God says is good for us in our lives, and when we attend to do those things because we're fearing God and we're honoring Him but with our conduct, that's when we'll be blessed for it and there'll be joy. All right? Do you remember the Beatitudes? Blessed is the man or blessed is blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, all those blessings that are pronounced on those that are in such a condition, all right? That word blessed, sometimes in Scripture, we find the word happy. And if you look in the original language behind blessed and happy, you usually find the same word, all right? Happy in the sense of being blessed of the Lord, okay? Or blessed in the sense that there's joy in our heart from the things that we're trying to do because God has worked in us both to will and to do. He didn't make us do it, but he does lead us by his Spirit, so he's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when Paul admonished the church at Philippi to rejoice, this was a church that was founded with much affliction. They met with a lot of affliction from the authorities. Some of them had been beaten. Some had been imprisoned. But later the church was founded, and on those beginnings of those tribulations and sufferings, Paul is telling them, rejoice. There may be circumstances in our lives that we don't rejoice over, but we can still rejoice in the Lord, in the blessings that he's given us and what he's blessed us to know. And so I've just given you a short list. As you read the scriptures, I'm sure you'll find other things that speak of things that we ought to always do. But I've given you a short list today so that we can try to remember. We're always to fear him. We're always to pray. We're always to give thanks. We're always... shouldn't have closed my book, should I? There's plenty of, always abound in the work of the Lord, okay? And we're to always rejoice. Always. It's not a matter of our circumstances. It's not a matter of how we are feeling. It's a matter of the goodness and mercy of our God. And he's had mercy upon us and blessed us to know him and to love him. And has given us the desire in our hearts to serve him. And so, may God help us to always attend to the things the Scripture tells us that we should always do. May God bless you is our prayer.